This is Associations Thrive, the podcast celebrating successful associations and their leaders. I'm your host, Joanna Pineda, CEO and Chief Troublemaker at Matrix Group International. Normally, I interview an association or nonprofit CEO about their personal journey and the things their organization is doing to thrive. Today's episode is a little different. It's January 2026, and I thought I would check in with some of my team members at Matrix Group about the themes from 2025 that they saw and some predictions for 2026. Today, I'm joined by Dave Hornig, Vice President for Software Engineering, Jessica Parsley, Director of Project Management, and Alex Pineda, Creative Director. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
It's January 2026, and you know that I always like to take time to think about what 2025 was like. What did we learn? What were some lessons from the year that we need to take into 2026? But I'd love to hear from you. What were some themes that really stood out for you? Jess?
I would say AI was definitely a big one.
Everyone's talking about AI.
Everyone's talking about AI. And some of the factors into that, one of them I saw was associations, companies turbocharging their staff, getting them invested in AI skills, getting them trained up, making sure they understood how and when to use AI appropriately, writing policies to guide staff usage to that, as well as how do they tie it into their day-to-day to make them more effective. So, for example, I've seen some clients create custom GPTs so they can more easily edit or produce blog posts, for example, or press releases, have it do quick checks where normally they'd spend like hours and hours upon editing their drafts, but they can get to the conclusion faster with less review time.
Dave, how about you? You spend a lot of time thinking about technology at Matrix Group, and you spend a lot of time thinking about search. What did you see in 25?
I'll piggyback on some of what Jessica's saying. Regarding search, search has been a focus of Matrix Group for clients inside and outside of their website for years. And AI has really modified that market, really shook it up so that it's introducing new tools, new interfaces to search. And what I'm seeing in terms of that is the clients have to make an adjustment. And in adjusting to how AI is affecting search, one of the decision points that we're helping clients with is making decisions about the content that's available to AI. Traditionally, an association has content that is reserved for members, and that's what the members pay that premium for. But that's the valuable stuff. That's the stuff that really is their meat and potatoes, you know, in terms of search. And how can they expose that content or some part of that content to an AI to support the community at large or the world at large, and still protect the interests of the members who are dues paying in their interests? So we're helping with that. We're also using AI for a lot of content migration. Historically, we have encouraged clients to take PDFs off their website and put them into HTML. That's a big task. And unless you're one of those lucky clients who happens to have the Word version of every one of those PDF documents available, we're using AI to help to migrate that in-house. And we're also recommending AI to clients to use it for summarizing large documents, creating summaries, and even images, some of the generative AI, to make their content more accessible.
Dave, I want to go back to something that you said, which is clients are making decisions about the content to make public that perhaps previously was only available to members because it was, you know, members only. That's kind of an existential discussion. Right? Because if some of your value came from protected content, how are we helping clients navigate that?
That's a great question. Here's one example. Imagine that you have protected content in full articles that's only available to members, but an abstract might be written to expose to the general public. And you see this all the time on the journal sites. Wiley does this, Scholar One does this, and the client does the same sort of thing. You're giving the AI not the full meat of the content, but at least enough to make it useful and searchable by the search engines, you know, via those abstracts.
Right. And I think the name of the game today is making your content visible enough to the AI answer engine so that it can be part of the answer so that you're even cited.
That's exactly right. And another thing we're doing in that vein is taking the schema, which is sort of an underlying sort of techie term, and expressing information, the metadata about the article, so that the AI engines can at least see that, the categories and the content, what this article is about, without having full access to the article.
Alex, as creative director, talk to me about something you saw in 2025 that wasn't related to AI.
I would say it's storytelling. So the majority of our clients are trade associations and professional societies. And to a large degree, they are the public face of a trade, of an industry, of a profession. And so there's really a need, especially now with the level of noise and the difficulty of breaking through, there's a need and a requirement almost for each of these associations to define who they are and the industries that they represent. And so almost all of our new designs for 2025 incorporated an about the industry portion, say, of the website that really shed the best light possible in terms of the importance, the value, and the critical role that a trade or an association plays in the world and its value to its members and its value to the general public. That was a big trend, and that was very important to do.
And Alex, that was new for some of these associations because many of them were so focused historically on talking to their members. But when you talk about the industry, you're talking to the public. So it's new content. How were they sourcing this and developing this? And was it a struggle?
It was a struggle. One is, you know, what is exactly the content that's going to be in this section? What is the purpose behind it? How does it serve the needs of the association and its members while presenting the profession or the trade to the public at large? And so there was a lot of strategy that was required. It's not just like slapping up a page and talking about this and that. So for example, the commercial fertilizer industry, there's a lot of requirements there in terms of sustainability, showing there's a deep relationship with agriculture, that it's not harmful to the land. You know, there's a lot of things like that, or sheet metal, in terms of how sheet metal is really incorporated into every building. It's such an intrinsic part of our construction industry. You can't walk through a city without sheet metal being part of everything. And so those are important points to get across to lawmakers, to whoever their audiences are, potential clients, potential customers, and that sort of thing.
Or even potential members to show that they have that community in the industry, that they work with all these fantastic partners.
Yes.
So what else did you guys see?
I know I saw a lot of clients figuring out how to do more with less. A decent amount of our different partners and clients had various budget constraints. They felt a little more constrained in 2025. So coming up with creative solutions to not have to put everything off, even if you can't necessarily do a full website redesign or implement an LMS or start a HireLogic community, essentially figuring out where are your pain points and what are small things we can do now that just elevate either your members' access to things, your staff's access to things. For example, one of our clients, the Analytical Life Science and Diagnostics Association, ALDA, they weren't very happy with their website. But the good news was we sat down with them and found a big pain point that didn't take a lot of budget to fix. That, yes, it's not a full redesign, building it from the ground up, making everything perfect, but just taking care of that one big issue changed how their staff interact with the site and even their membership. Because when both groups are a little bit more happy, you don't have to spend a giant budget to get a better product.
I would say also, if I could chime in on that, a lot of these decisions are based on our analytics review. We look at their analytics, we look at where people are going, where are they dropping off, where's the attrition happening? And from the client's point of view, how come people aren't going to X because we really want to promote this service or this program or this document? And so it's analyzing the data and then coming up with the strategy to make these incremental changes that don't require a systemic overhaul, but instead are just refinements or adjustments to ease, you know, the user experience.
there's one more thing about the doing more with less theme that I think is doing more with new. So there's always been staff turnover for us and for anyone. But what I've seen in the last year is that when new staff has been coming on, they have been more interested in getting them trained on using the tech and really getting empowered to take the tech as far as they can in an accelerated kind of fashion. I haven't seen it quite as much in the prior years. Oh, and there's one other thing that I want to talk about in terms of 2025. I've seen a general shift away from text. So historically, you've got long articles, you've got PDFs and all this text content available on your website. And what I'm seeing is a shift more towards the audio and other multimedia forms, and in particular, the audio. So people are listening to this podcast right now, and it's not the only podcast in the world. Everyone's creating a podcast, and that's how people are consuming that sort of text. They've got their headphones on, and they'd rather listen to something as they're driving to work. They can't read it, and they're not visiting a website. The same sort of thing is happening with read-alouds. So we've introduced read-alouds for a number of our clients, where instead of, again, reading the text, you're listening to it. And this is pretty consistent with sort of your personal trend. You know, my wife, for example, will quote unquote read a book by listening to it. And others are still traditional in that regard, but there's a moving trend in the year to, I think, more audio content.
Another trend, or just something that's always been sort of intrinsic to our industry, is the graying out of a membership. You know, that you have a generation that's moving on, retiring. And so how do you attract the new members? And I would say that anecdotally, as a professor working with students, this generation, they prefer to consume their content by watching it or listening to it, not by reading it. And so when you're thinking about how you want to attract new members to your association or to your union or whatever it is, you really need to think about having a multimedia strategy of having a rich media outreach to your members. And don't expect that they're going to read your long PDF. They're going to want to watch a video. They're going to want to watch a podcast. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Well, and making it accessible for these different wayfinding experience.
Yes.
Yeah. As well as to Dave's point and what we covered earlier, AI also loves some of these things too. So with your long articles, having a companion speakable part or having a summary to it, it's not only good for the reader who might need a quick summary or need to listen to it because they can't read it in the car, but it's also definitely helping in the front of AI and being found.
You know, I'll say one concluding thing on this, Joanna. A year ago, I think you and I talked about a trend toward micro learning. And, you know, they were smaller, bite-sized consumables, and they had audio or multimedia components to them. And now I think this trend is taking that beyond the micro learning into these full articles and these full stories.
Yeah, 100%. That's a big, big trend. So speaking of trends, you know, we spend a lot of time thinking about what's the year going to look like. So what's the year going to look like, Alex? What are some design trends?
I would say a fairly basic design trend is you're going to see the web more come to life. It's going to be more animated. There's going to be a lot more movement. Things are going to fly off the screen, are going to react to your cursor in a much more naturalistic sort of way. There's a lot of tools out there right now, like ReactBits or, you know, a lot of these quick tools to create these sort of micro interactions that just come to life and are animated. And I think that's a welcome change. The web has been, you know, other than playing a video or what have you, it's been a fairly static medium. And I think it's going to just come more to life.
What about in terms of the tools that the designers and the developers are using?
Oh my God. Well, I mean, that's the one of the most exciting things that's going to come. 2025 was already pretty exciting. There are a lot of AI tools out there now that are, some of them are built into the tools that we as designers use every day, the Adobe Suite or Figma. And there's a reason why vibe coding was the word of the year, right? Vibe coding means that you just use a prompt and it can spin up a whole lot of stuff. You know, in the same time frame that I would take to create one wireframe using the Figma tool, AI tools, I can spin up 10. And it's done so quickly that it really unleashes your creativity. It really removes a lot of the chore of your craft, and it just enables quick interactions, quick prototyping. It's really exciting. And I'm just looking forward to even more of these tools coming out to just really unleash your creativity.
Wow. Dave, what are you seeing on the tech side?
Well, even before that, on the tech side, I'll piggyback on what Alex was saying, because the evolution in 2025 with AI being embedded in the tools went well beyond just the design tools. The editors have tools with generative AI, and the developers have tools that a year ago were really pretty native, pretty basic. And the developers didn't trust the code that was generated by these tools, but now they've had a year of growth and they've gotten much better. I'm also seeing on the tech side, I'm predicting a trend toward personalization. And within the website, personalizing content, you can think of it from an AI perspective. A chatbot is very personalized content, right? Because I begin a conversation and I can have an entire thread with that. Whether you're doing it outside of a website, you know, in a Google environment or inside a website, it's sort of a personalized feature. But I'm seeing other personalized features that, frankly, are easier to do now. You know, personalization has been around forever, but a lot of the rules, it was hard to build in the past because we had to essentially create data models and algorithms to say, okay, this person likes these things or has these interests or consumes content in these ways and personalize what they're going to get on the website. And we had to store all those preferences. But now with AI, it simplifies the process a little bit of the data modeling and puts it over onto the AI engines to be able to provide that sort of personalized content. And you're still building prompts and so on, but less so engineering much of the process.
Well, I know we've got a couple of projects launching in Q1 that will involve personalization. And what I'm excited about is you still need all the inputs, you still need all the information about the members, and you still need to train the AI on all the resources, but it can really create very customizable recommendations per person. I mean, Alex, you talk about Netflix all the time, right? As the ultimate personalization engine.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's Netflix homepage is different. And it takes that behavior. It looks at your watching history. It understands your interests and makes recommendations. So I am a science fiction junkie. I've been reading science fiction since I was young. And artificial intelligence, AI, has been a staple of the sci-fi genre for years. I mean, it's always been there. And we're getting close to life imitating art at this point. So one of my favorite books growing up was Snow Crash by Neal Stephenson.
Great book.
Yeah, great book. The central device in that book was the young lady's illustrated primer. It was a tablet with AI in it. And it, by accident, wound up in a slum. And this little girl picked it up. And this device enabled her to escape poverty. It created an educational curriculum geared towards her personally that really gave her agency and allowed her to thrive as an individual. And that, as a university professor, as a dad, and as a creative director and as a designer, you know, that to me is so exciting, that future of deeply personal, human-centric experiences, especially with education. You know, most of our clients have some kind of educational offering. They have an LMS, they offer CE courses. Imagine if AI really personalized that curriculum for each member. I'm a young member, I'm just starting in my career, I join your association. Imagine if you could recommend an educational curriculum that will guide me through my career. Imagine that. That's possible now.
Well, Alex, you know that I'm a huge Duolingo fan. And guys, I have a 2,300-day streak. It's quite the streak, right?
That's quite a streak.
And I can tell that the lessons are customized for me. When I have little practice lessons, it says, hey, these were your weak words. These were your weak grammar lessons. I can tell. And I'm now actually, this is the most amazing use of AI that I've seen in a while. I have audio conversations with AI Lily. AI Lily speaks perfect French and perfect Spanish. She remembers our previous conversations. After every few lessons, Duolingo will say, was this lesson too easy, just right, too hard? And I'll give it feedback. And I have whole conversations. It's been amazing to have these conversations and feel like my language learning has really skyrocketed. So Jess, you talked about AI turbocharging staff. My language learning got turbocharged because I'm speaking French every day.
Well, and I'd also say to add where Dave's like personalization now has become easier from a staff perspective. Yes, it's important that you generate the content, which you already are doing. But previously, there'd be barriers for, okay, do I have the right category that matches you, Joanna?
Right, right.
And do I have the right category that matches Alex? And are the resources tagged correctly to reach a Joanna or Alex? And that took a lot of staff time. It took a lot of like reviewing your member data, which if you're a smaller chef, or even if you're a bigger chef, you don't always have the time to dedicate to it, where the AI doesn't sleep. So it's constantly reviewing this information and making subtle tweaks to allow for a better experience, but not crushing the staff under the weight of, okay, did I classify it correctly?
Jess, what's your prediction for 26?
My prediction is that it's going to be more challenging to be a thought leader or an authority in the industries that our clients work in, or in general on the internet. With so much noise and different sites and content being produced every day, and people just typing into ChatGPT or Gemini to get quick answers, and not necessarily, hey, let me look at the sources and click into it and explore further, figuring out how you can be the one still providing the answer, the guidance, keeping the industry safe, keeping people together is definitely going to be harder.
So Jess, you're saying where historically our associations have really presented themselves as the authority, because people are more and more going to the AI answer engines, it's going to be harder for them to say, we speak for the industry, we're the place to go. So I'll tell you, for me, my prediction is that in order to rise above that noise and in order to almost mitigate this trend of people going to the AI answer engines, I think that associations are going to have to double down on community. And I think that they need to say to the industry, their profession, certainly to their members and potential members, that if you want the deep expert information, come to the association. Because if you want the general answers that are available to the public, go to the AI answer engines. But if you want the good stuff, you have to come to the association. And so you have to go to the website, you have to become a member, you have to log in, you have to come to the meetings to be in community with the people who have this knowledge maybe locked in their brains that doesn't exist someplace else. So for me, 26 will be doubling down on community.
Yes, Joanna, that makes me think. We were recently at the AWTC Advance, which AWTC is Association Women Technology Champions. And part of that appeal is being in a space and holding space with people who are in your industry, you work together with partners that you can't really get from an AI. So I do think organizations need to figure out how to introduce more of that, but also make it approachable, because a lot of your big conferences, smaller staff teams can't send everyone to go to your conference. So what are the opportunities to create these smaller engagements where they still have the community without having to go on site to a 4 or 5 day conference, spend lots of money, and not be able to take along additional people?
Another trend that I think is really important for us to focus on is increased mobile presence. The fact that more and more people are primarily going to be interacting and going on the internet on mobile devices. Right now, our clients are still, most of them are primarily focused on desktop. To some degree, their analytics show that the majority of their traffic is coming from desktop, but I think there's going to be a shift, especially since I mentioned earlier about the graying out of membership. You know, the older members are used to using their desktops or laptops, but the younger members, man, they just use their phones. They use their phones for everything. And so when you're going to present yourself, present your content, your association, your services, your industry, you've got to think about mobile a lot more comprehensively.
Alex, I'm also predicting that there'll be a bigger emphasis on navigating by voice.
Yes.
Because as you go mobile, if you want to interact deeply with the device, it is hard to text and type a lot of stuff. And so I think voice is going to become even more important.
Yeah, even like me, I consider myself part of the older generation. I've got a Google Home and I use that thing for everything. I need a recipe. I need to set a timer. I need to look up something. I don't even go to my phone anymore. I just say, hey, Google, blah, blah, blah. And it just happens, you know, and it pulls it up for me. And most of the time, it's not something I need to read. It's something I just listen to.
Most of the people's devices are now waking up.
Right. You know, I want to close this out by making a prediction, or maybe it's a hope. I think that there has been a trend towards companies getting bigger, mergers and acquisitions and consolidations. We see it in the association industry. We see it in general. But I'm hoping and predicting that with some of these tools, that the little guys will be able to compete with the big guys, because they can use these tools to generate content, to develop software, to create amazing experiences for their customers that previously weren't available to them. Alex, what do you think about that?
I absolutely agree. It's a democratization, if you will, of technology, and it's enabling smaller groups, organizations, staff to do more with less.
Yep. Well, Dave, Jess, and Alex, this has been a delight. I'm going to have you guys back on the podcast because this was so fun. Thanks so much for being on.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, boss.
Thanks for listening to Associations Thrive. We're so glad to have you here. You know, my personal mission and the mission of my company, Matrix Group International, is to help associations and nonprofits increase membership, generate revenue, and thrive in the digital space. I want to hear stories of how your organization is thriving in today's challenging landscape. Please apply to be on my show by going to podcast.matrixgroup.net. By the way, do you need help with a digital initiative? Maybe it's a website redesign, a new membership database, or a hybrid meeting that you're planning. I'd love to connect with you. Please visit the Matrix Group website at matrixgroup.net. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode of Associations Thrive. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a 5-star rating, post a comment, and share it with your colleagues and friends.